Blog Talk Radio.
Bye.
take this time for our church just to stand. And the Bible says the consolation, the Holy Spirit is still and quiet. Let's raise our hands and surrender and worship and lay it at His feet. Whatever you're dealing with today, He has the answer. Our God is sovereign and He's still on the throne. And all He wants is for us to come to Him.
Thank you. privilege to have our stewardship family come up again this morning and share a little bit from their hearts about our growing beyond.
So what my mom said was great, bunch of money, but I'm a teenager and I still have Monopoly money up here. I'm not working the real money yet. So I want to remind everyone about the value of all things that we do for this church. Our service and volunteering can literally be looked at as a multiplying factor in of any need or money donated. Our prayers, presence, service, and witness are the heart of this congregation and what makes us so special. While I'm trying to grow beyond my own comfort zone with outreach and service, I ask you, where will you grow beyond this coming year?
Just just sitting there waiting for somebody to ask me to do something. And I've made a conscious decision to be a little more involved in the church. I don't know if that's going to work out for you, Tom, but I've kind of weaseled myself on a committee, and I hope I can not only give of my money and my time, but of some of the services that I can provide. And I hope you think about that. Think intentionally about your pledge card. Fill it out mindfully and intentionally. And then next week, we're going to fold it up and put it on our vine out here. Don't worry, nobody will see it. But we're going to watch our vine grow with the fruits of our love and our service to God. Thank you.
Continue that growth and how we need to always be growing and
and growing the plant connected to the vine, which is that third we talked about, vines and branches. We are the branches, God is the vine, right? And what we tend to do is want to be the vine instead of the branches and grow our own way and go figure our own thing out. That's why God prunes us and brings us back, because he has a marvelous plan for our lives. And that's what we need to remember and be a part of. Well, today, we talk about first fruits. Now, we see the term first fruits initially mentioned in Exodus 23. It says, the choices of your first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. Moses is leading the people out of captivity in Egypt, and they spent time in the wilderness, and they're about to go into the promised land, and God has instructed the Israelites to give of their first of their crops so they can understand the value of God's blessing. In fact, it says, before any grain could be harvested in spring, a ceremony was to take place to inaugurate the spring harvest season. The ceremony was usually by the laving of the first sheaf of grain. It's what we, a lot of times, if you've ever heard of the sheaf of wheat, that's what that's in reference to. It's an old term that's used in our country even today sometimes. This ceremony of laving was a thing to be accepted by God. And what specifically started then as a specific instruction for bringing crops later changed and grew in the scriptures in a different way. First fruits, that it no longer refers to literal fruit. It doesn't refer to grain or necessarily anything grown in the ground. But any income, wealth, or blessing that a Christian has received over the course of a year. Now, the Hebrew word for first fruits is called bikura, and it means literally promise to come. Promise to come. The Israelites saw these first fruits then as an investment into their future. God told them that if they brought their first fruits to him, God would bless all that came afterwards. So the question for us today, as we consider first fruits, is how we can grow beyond with our own first fruits to the promise to come. Let's pray. God, you know our hearts. I know you know mine. I know you know my anguish, my joy, my sheer dependence on you. And I speak for all of us as I say that. And when we remember that, we remember that you want us. You want what you created to blossom and grow, to be a witness to what's going on in our lives so that the world may see something different. Help us then to give our very best. Help us to understand that you want nothing more from us and the best we have to give. And help us understand what that means through your Son, through the scriptures, through this day as we gather here. Lord, take down the defenses of our lives. There is one great wall that builds up in the church, and it's money. It is not to be a conversation solely about money, but solely about you. So help us to break down the walls and listen for your word and your wisdom. Not mine, not the church's, but yours, Lord, by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus we pray. Amen. So bringing our best is what God wants of us. And it does make a difference. We heard that in the video clip we saw this morning. I want to read that passage from Genesis one more time from the Message version. Cain brought an offering to God from the produce of his farm. Abel brought an offering. offering, but from the firstborn animals of the herd, choice cut of meat. God likes Abel and his offering, but Cain and his offering didn't get God's approval. Cain lost his temper and went into a sulk. That sounds so much like me, that last sentence. At first glance, it would seem as though Abel was given preferential treatment, doesn't it? I mean, two brothers, they each brought something, and there was something added. But a closer reading, if you look at it closely, it's like the video points out, shows that Cain brought something from his farm. Not the best, but of his produce. And God did not bless him. Abel brought the firstborn, the best choice. God wants our best. Can you say that with me? God wants our best. Now, first fruits, and I want to be clear about this, first fruits are different from a tithe. Both are in the Bible, and both are talked about quite a bit. For the Israelite people, first fruits symbolizes how God harvests souls. It was an offering to God from a heart of gladness, especially for those people coming out of Egypt and out of slavery and coming into the promised land. And it set the standard of giving back to God the best of what God has given them in those times. It's not described as an amount. We don't know what amount a first fruit is, only that it should be given before any of the crops could be used. So in harvest, we get all the grain harvested, and we go to use it, and it's like, in a way, first we go to give glory to God, and they take the sheaf of the first grain and weigh it. And that's what God wants of us. And there's all sorts of ways that gift can be given. Now, first fruits are different than a tithe, because a tithe is described by Jacob in Genesis 22. This stone, which I have set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And all that you give, I will surely give one tenth to you. A literal tenth translation of the word tithe is a tenth. So when we have that conversation about, well, what should we tithe now? It's simply a word. It is simply a word that says a tenth. And that's what it talks about. But we understand that it's more than just money. It's a tenth of a crop originally. And God calls us to understand that that's the kind of thing we're looking at. There can be all sorts of ways that we give our first fruits. One came to me this morning. I was thinking about it, and one of our guys was sitting in the back that I know retired in the last year. And one of the very first things, if not the first thing he did, was offer a service to the church. He was ready to do some painting. You see, he gave the first fruit of his retirement. He was starting this brand new thing, this brand new journey, this brand new location in his life. And he chose to come to the church and say, hey, let me help out. That's first fruits. That's a beautiful way we can look at it. That's what God wants for us to understand. First fruits are more than just grain in the scripture. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15:20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. Jesus was an offering for us, the first fruit offering for you and I. Amen? Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection. Think about that. I grew up in a family that owned a flower shop, and occasionally we would have funeral orders that would include a sheaf of wheat. That's why I know about it. The rest of you are like, oh, what? But it would be just a little band like of wheat that would stand out, and it would be placed in the coffin. You may have seen that at some point or other. The tradition was marking the resurrection of Jesus as the first fruits of the dead, and us as the first fruits of those who joined it in this resurrection. So when we see that sheaf of wheat at somebody in a memorial service or some point, we understand that there's more to it. We understand that this is in fact first fruits of the resurrection. We are part of that resurrection. We need not worry about those people because they are with God in a very special way. The first fruits of those who have gone before us. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel good about people that I care about, people who have gone before me and made a difference. We are the first fruits that join him in resurrection. John 1:18 says, "In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by word of the truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures." We are the first fruits of Jesus in the sacrifice. We are a holy offering to the world because of what Jesus did for us. First fruit offerings are typically an annual gift to the church done at harvest time. But because we're not actually harvesting crops, I don't know if anybody is, anybody a farmer or weed grower or any of that stuff. I have an orange tree out back that's got a lot of oranges, and they're all splitting right now. They don't look real good, but that's about as close as I come. We're not really those people. But we do have the ability to give them our first fruits. Perhaps you got a bonus at work, or maybe you just received a huge tax refund. Those are all harvest time moments where your hard work has paid off. These are also great opportunities to turn back to God in gratitude for the blessing. The way we respond is to give our best. Is to give our best, our choicest lives to God. The first fruits of salvation is our witness. So when we walk out of this place today, remember that you're a first fruit of the creation, of this resurrection, of God's sacrifice. And maybe you'll understand what it means to witness in a new and special way. So how do we consider that we're talking about first fruits, or for that matter, giving in any way back to God, giving our best? How do we do that? Well, it's better to be able than to raise Cain. That's my first thing. Okay. Proverbs. Thank you. I'm here all week, literally. Proverbs 3:9 says, "Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce." The emphasis of all is mine, of course, but it's really what it says. It says everything that we have and everything we are first belongs to who? God. Right? And so what do we do with this? First of all, pray. If your goal is obedience to God, It only makes sense that you would go to God first in prayer. Can you imagine? If you think about every day when you wake up, it's the beginning of a new day, and your prayer is your first fruit to God. Do you think maybe your day would be a little different if you started to give that first fruit before you ever climbed out of bed? That's where God's calling us to be, and to listen, ask him what you should do with your money or for your resources, and especially your life. And then listen. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the boldness we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." And I believe we can hear God. Amen. Then after you've prayed, prepare. God calls us to be good stewards of the blessings that he gives us. And that's one of the things I want to talk about. That means knowing what we're able to give and when. Have a plan in place for your offering, whether it's service, whether it's financially, whatever way. Approach each harvest time, whenever that is, with an open mind and a generous heart. And I just want to talk, I'm going to plug a little bit about Financial Peace University, because I want to talk about what planning really can do in our lives. Dave Ramsey, if you've heard the name, he is famous, and he's famous not just because he's raised a whole ton of money for himself by telling other people how to earn money. I believe the success that he has is because of his calling, number one, and that calling is to get us out of slavery ourselves. In the last 50 to 60 years, our country has moved from a country who saves to a country who buys on credit. So we've gone from a savings capital country to a debt capital country. We have moved into slavery of debt. And Dave Ramsey is trying to teach us ways out, showing us by the way he lived his life, started in bankruptcy himself, and climbed out of that. And what he's teaching us, and those who are in the class can tell you, that he's teaching us, it's not hard, it's not difficult, it's just an opportunity to plan and to do things the right way. Here, you saw it, if you didn't see it in the video, on November 20th, we're going to have a live broadcast of Dave Ramsey talking about the baby steps. If you've heard of it, Financial Peace University, there's six baby steps, right? Six? Seven steps. I don't see how good I can keep details. That's why my wife is the financial advisor of our house. But anyhow, in that night, that one night for 3 hours, he's going to walk us through all that. He and the folks that work with him. And if you're not able to give the way you want to, what he tells you to do is live now in a planned way so you can spend the rest of your life giving the way you want it to. I mean, like a day like today, when you're talking about stewardship and talking about, dare I say it, money, we all would like to have a ton of money that we can give away. What he teaches us is we get, and I really believe in it, and I believe the fact that he feels called by God to do this is the top of it. And then after we pray and we prepare, we prioritize. The whole idea by trying to first fruit gift is to put God first. That may be donating your first paycheck of the year to the church, or it may be that you put this donation first in your budget. How many people here make a budget? Don't raise your hand. You don't have to. We have a budget in our family. I know nothing about it. It's right over here. But wouldn't it be cool when you're making a budget if you put God first? Amen. And said, you know what? The first fruit of this budget is going to be for God. Wouldn't that be a powerful thing to do? We will be blessed, in fact, if we make God a priority. I mean, that's true in any part of your life. Anything that we do, if we put God first, we can make God first and tell God that we're giving our first fruits. We're making it a priority in our finances, in our time, in our family, all of it. I want to tell you about the most extravagant giver I ever met. He said to me, when I give it to God, I give it back. And then he paused and he said, and then over the course of his life in this church, which was only about 5 to 7 years, I can't remember exactly, he gave over $1 million to this church. And not once did we question where the money went. Of course, I asked him the very first time he gave a large check, $100,000 check, first time I ever held a $100,000 check that wasn't Monopoly money. I said, well, what do you want me to do? And he goes, I want you to use it the way it should be used, period. Never gave direction beyond that. We let God be a priority. We can think that way, and we will be blessed. After we've done all this work, after we've prayed and prepared and prioritized, and this is our work for this week, isn't it? Amen? The last thing is to give. Once again, Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. And that means not only stewardship number, that prayers, gifts, service, and witness. That's what God wants us to give back. I want to give my first fruits in every one of those areas. Amen? How often do you then give a first fruit offering? Remember this. First fruits is not the amount, but the thanksgiving. Matthew Pratt said that God's gift to each of us is our potential. Our gift to Him is what we do with that potential. The chief way you and I can be disloyal to God is to make small what He intended to make large. One way we glorify God is to fulfill the expectations of God who created us. To do so is to concretely express our gratitude to God for His blessing. A couple weeks ago, several of you really gave of your time, and I totally forgot to give thanks to you. It was pointed out to me this past week. And that's the folks that helped with Halifax, the hospital is here, and all their employees, a lot of their employees were here. I neglected to say thank you. I don't think those of you who do this needed to hear me say that, but I said thank you to someone else, and I didn't say it to you. And for that, I apologize and seek your forgiveness. But what you do is show the first fruits of witness as a member of the first church. Those people felt loved when they were here. They may not use that word. They may say welcome, but they felt loved. And I thank you all so much for that. And seek your forgiveness for not mentioning it earlier. First fruits symbolize the harvest of God's soul. It illustrates giving to God with a grateful heart. And it sets a pattern of giving back to God as the first and the best of all we are. Amen? 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7. You've heard it before. The point is this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you, each of us, must give as we have made up our mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand at your table as we put our Lord in worship together. God Almighty, great I am.
force the demons run and flee. At the mention of your name, King of Majesty.